Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning, we're going to jump back into the book of Hebrews. And the verse we're going to work out of today is Hebrews 10:12. It reads, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." And by way of introduction, as you read the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, you will notice all kinds of offerings being made to God. Offerings were a means for a man to approach God in worship and in praise. Furthermore, offerings served as a means of an act of reconciliation. And the most common offerings were animal sacrifices. And if you were a family of greater means, then you would offer a bull or a lamb to God. But if you were a family of little means, then you would offer a pair of turtle doves or a pair of pigeons to the Lord. And the reason why is because according to the Levitical law, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, which means forgiveness of sins, your transgressions before the Lord. Leviticus 17:11 reads, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." However, these offerings never served as a permanent covering or atonement for the sinner. But what they did do was represent a shadow or a symbol of the permanent atonement through Christ's sacrificial work done on the cross on behalf of sinners such as you and I. So I want to begin reading in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of their sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of the sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he, Christ, came into this world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In a volume of this book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." I'd like to speak about three points of application this morning. First, the brief history of animal sacrifices. Second, through Christ's sacrifice, believers are positionally sanctified. And third, how to approach God. First, a brief history into animal sacrifices. And the first act of sacrificing an animal was done by God himself. We find it in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve committed the original sin in the garden by eating the forbidden fruit from the tree of good and evil. This was a direct act of disobedience against God. And the Bible states that the wages of sin is death. So Adam and Eve should have been the first ones to die physical deaths. When they sinned through committing this original act of disobedience, things changed for them, and also things changed for the whole world. But specifically for them, they felt condemned. They felt ashamed. Their eyes were open to good and evil. They realized that they were naked and made coverings for themselves. And furthermore, they tried to hide from God. You know, sin has a way of making you run away from God. when God wants you to run to Him because of your sin. Only He can provide that forgiveness. Again, Adam and Eve should have died first. Yet God, in His abundant mercy, provided a temporary covering for them. He put an animal to death in their place. Genesis 3:21 states that the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So the first physical death on earth was an innocent animal, which God provided as a means of a substitute to atone for their sin. This would become a shadow of the reality that one day God Himself would provide a substitute to take the place of the sinner permanently to atone for their sin, past, present, and future. And that substitute would be His only begotten Son, Jesus, whom John the Baptist, when he made the official announcement of Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. You know, throughout the Old Testament, we see examples of this substitutionary atonement. In the book of Leviticus, specifically chapter 16, which speaks about the Day of Atonement, the high priest Aaron would go into the holy place. And at that time, it was a tabernacle. And he would offer a bull as a sin offering on behalf of himself and his family. And then he would take two goats and cast lots for them. One would be a blood offering for God, and the second would be for the people, known as a scapegoat. So here we have two innocent goats, yet only one would survive, the scapegoat. Leviticus 16:21 reads, "Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man." Again, friends, God, He does not desire that innocent animals get killed. He has no pleasure in it, in these types of sacrifices. The old Levitical system was not designed to remove sins, but it demonstrated that sins needed to be covered. And it pointed to the only true sin covering, which is from the blood of Jesus. And that leads me to my second application. Through Christ's sacrifice, believers are positionally sanctified. The author of Hebrews, throughout the book, has drawn a contrast between Jesus and everything else, with the aim of demonstrating that Christ is preeminent. He's better than all these things. Earthly priests stood daily ministering, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices that could never take away sins. Animal sacrifices were insufficient. The priest's job was never done. He could never sit down. Yet our God, His job, He said He offered one offering and He sat down at the right hand of God. And let's look a little deeper into the reason why. 1 Samuel 15:22 reads, "As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." So Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father perfectly. And God values obedience more than offerings. He values obedience more than traditions. Take it to the book of Isaiah chapter 1. He says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? Says the Lord, I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, in the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Right there, animal sacrifices. But then he gives you instructions on how he wants you to live in obedience to God. He continues and says, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. So friends, what we see here is the depravity of man in all effort before God, trying to appease God. Well, friends, there is none good. Not one. Not just because Jesus kept the law, all 613 of them perfectly, but because of the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. God came down to this helpless humanity. And for by his one offering of himself on the cross, he perfected forever those who were being sanctified. Now, the verse in which this point of application stems from is from verse 10 in our reading. Yes, the sanctification process for a believer is lifelong until our last breath. The believer is being set apart, becoming indifferent from the world, becoming holier. Yet the sanctification in verse 10 in our reading is positional, referring to a believer's justification. Sanctified is past tense. You are declared righteous before God through Christ's atonement. Believer, you are sanctified. Excuse me. Again, no further evidence is necessary. No further sacrifice is necessary for your sin, I should say. And if you go back a few chapters in chapter 8 of Hebrews, when pertaining to the new covenant that Jesus established, starting in verse 12, he said, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more." So God is deliberately choosing not to remind himself of the information, or should I say, sin in your and my life. Love keeps no record of wrong. And praise God for his abundant mercy through his son's redemptive work. Because every day we fail to live up to God's holy standards. Every day. But Jesus' blood sacrifice took away any and all evidence of wrongdoing in our lives, friends. It's erased. We need to let that sink in. For example, when Jesus was arrested on the night of his betrayal, Peter took a sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant named Malchus. Well, what did Jesus do next? You know, he told Peter to put away the sword, and he restored Malchus's ear. So what Jesus did, in effect, was erase any and all evidence of Peter's wrongdoing against that servant. Peter could have been arrested right on the spot right there. Taken before the council, he could have been executed. But Jesus made it like it never happened. Malchus' ear was completely restored, friends. And that's what faith in Jesus does for the believer. Because of his shed blood, we are made new. Our sins against God himself are erased, gone forever, made like pure snow. Remember, even though believers are going through the sanctification process, being made holy until our last breath, as a believer, you are positionally sanctified as you stand before the Father. Through Christ's sacrifice, all believers are sanctified. Let that sink in. Third, how do we approach God? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Friends, in this church age, which is now because of Jesus, we have a greater access to God than those high priests ever did in the Old Testament times. See, even though we have this privilege, you know, the question is, do you approach God reverently or carelessly? You know, it's something we should all question when taking inventory of ourselves. When the high priest went into the holiest part of the tabernacle, a temple, referred to the Holy of Holies, you know, they didn't do it nonchalantly. This happened once a year on Yom Kippur, otherwise known as the Day of Atonement, which is the holiest day of the year in Judaism. And to backtrack a little, the high priest, you know, they entered once a year into the holiest of holies to sprinkle the blood of a sacrificed animal and to offer incense on the Ark of the Covenant in the mercy seat to offer atonement for the sins of the nation. Well, the high priest went into the holiness of holies. He had to wash his body as part of a ceremonial cleansing. He had to put on holy garments. You know, he had to do other things prescribed in Leviticus 16, if you want to take a chance to read that later, but it's a good reading. But the main thing is he had to follow a protocol lest he die, which is mentioned a couple times in that chapter. But the main idea is that he had to be careful on how he approached holy God. And I read that there was a Jewish tradition, it's not found in the Bible, that these high priests, they entered the Holy of Holiness with a rope tied to one of their feet. And the reason why is in case the high priest died in the presence of the Lord, probably because of some unconfessed sin. They were withholding from God. So the rope around their foot would make it easier to retrieve the body. Again, only high priests could enter into it once a year. So by way of application, let us not approach God carelessly. You know, he blessed us with this privilege through the redemptive work of his Son. Let us not do it nonchalantly, I should say. Ephesians 2, 11 through 13 read, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by the hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So just as the Old Testament priest prepared animal sacrifices before gaining access to God, we ought to prepare our hearts as we draw near to God in prayer. Let us draw near with a heart, a true heart, and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, as we approach God, let us be contrite. And even with a sense of brokenness about our sins, let us come with a repentant heart with an aim to move away from those things that don't please the Lord. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Pray often. Read his word often. James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Remember, it's our responsibility to draw near to God. He doesn't force that on us. It's an initiative that each of us has to take often. Not only on Sunday mornings, Now, God wants full custody of you. He doesn't want weekend visits. You ever hear that quote? That's a good quote. Well, the closer you draw to God, He will draw closer to you. Remember, we have a God that has a spirit within us, working through us. His presence is around us. Draw near to Him because He desires to draw near to you. James states to cleanse your hands, you sinners. Remember, the high priest, they needed to cleanse themselves before into the Holy of Holiness. Unfortunately, many people think that they're going through the physical motions of something would suffice. For example, Pontius Pilate, when he ordered the death of our Savior to satisfy the hostile crowd that kept screaming, "Crucify Him," he assumed that he would bear no guilt for the death of Jesus by simply washing his hands. Phew. We all bear that guilt, my friend. We need to purify our hearts. And yes, it's easier said than done. That's why we need to continue to draw near to God and the things of God while drawing away from the things that hinder our walks with the Lord, our relationship with God. Let me conclude with this last scripture. Hebrews 9:11 through 15 sums this all up. It says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, that He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offer Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." Let's pray, friends. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, Father God, we are so thankful, Father, for the grace that You give us. We are so thankful, Father, for Your sacrifice, for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, His shed blood. Father, this great act, this act that we can never conceive, how You would do it for us out of love and only love. We are truly grateful, Father. Father, let us not, help us to not take this ultimate sacrifice for granted. Help us in our walks continue to be mindful and just think about this, Your Son's death and what it means for us. His shed blood, erasing all our sins, past, present, future, paying our sin debt in full. Help us to continue to be mindful of this daily in our lives and live out our lives in such a way that brings glory to You. But again, we just thank You, Father. No more blood, no more sacrificing of animals. None of that stuff means anything. But it only pointed to Your Son. Your Son Jesus and His blood sacrifice means everything to us. And we are thankful and grateful. And we love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.